Hello and welcome to another episode of the Win Your Daily Battles. My name is Jamie and I'm the host for this show. I am so excited to do this show, guys, because aside from saying my name every time I introduce my podcast, now I'm actually introducing a guest with the same name, and it's so ironic when you're calling yourself. Anyway, so for today's podcast, I have with me a Filipino nurse based here in Southern California, actually in Los Angeles in particular. And she graduated her Bachelor's of Science in Nursing in the Philippines and has recently become a family nurse practitioner. So that's such an amazing achievement, and I'm so proud of her. I've seen her journey on social media about becoming a nurse, and oh boy, it takes a lot of patience to get there. So my guest right now will tell us exactly how it's like to be a Filipino nurse living in America and dealing with all these different things that immigrants deal with, and of course being a health practitioner in this time of coronavirus. I really, really salute people like her, just because as you guys know, my diagnosis, I am just taken care of by so many medical people, and without them, I wouldn't be here. And I'm sure most of us wouldn't be here without their care. So please welcome on the show, Miss Jamie Kate.
Hi, Jamie.
Jamie. Oh my God, this is going to be a Jamie show. I love it. It's so interesting. It's so weird to me to call my own name. But anyway, Jamie, please do the honors and talk about your story and introduce yourself to our audience right now about what's your journey as an immigrant, about your pursuit as being a nurse here in Southern California, where it's so competitive. A lot of Filipinos want to do the nursing path to come to America. And so, yes, please share away.
Hi, so my name is Jamie Kate, and I graduated my BSN in the Philippines. And after graduating, I migrated here in California because my family's here and my dad is here, and he was the one that really suggested for me to go to nursing. Back when I was in college, I actually was about to start dentistry at Centro Escolar University because I wanted to be a doctor. But then I knew I had to go to America within 4 years because of the laws of petitioning. So I have to be here before 21. So being a dentist is not an option because it takes 6 years. And so I took up nursing and I went here, and it wasn't easy for me to be a registered nurse right away. The first time I applied for my California RN license, I was rejected. I was told that I have to repeat the whole program because it wasn't matching the curriculum of the US and the Philippines. So it was so devastating to me. And back then, I didn't know what to do because all I know is I have a bachelor's degree and I am asked to repeat it all over again.
Oh my God. And I think this is the common thing in a foreign country, Jamie, because in my experience, yes, I'm the same. I mean, I'm just doing media, but I feel like I'm such an experienced media person in the Philippines. I did have trainings. I had more than 10 years of experience being on camera and hosting, but I come here and it's just not relevant. I mean, it's relevant, yes, in the Philippines, but here it's like, well, we don't really know who ABS-CBN is. So we don't really care if you're experienced in your home country. This is America. It's a very different ball game. So yeah, it's shocking. I agree because I'm the same. I got shocked that, so you mean all my achievements mean nothing here? It's basically you starting from the very, very bottom, which is why I think moving to America is not as easy as people think, because you really need to start from the very, very first step.
Yes. And I'm not the only one. Almost every foreign graduates, we all had to take additional classes, or we are asked to repeat the whole program. And it's frustrating. One, it is very expensive. to apply for certifications here. And if you get rejected, that's like money you can't take back. And so what I did was I had to work around it. I had to apply to Hawaii, and Hawaii is not as strict as California. So they let me take the NCLEX-RN, and luckily I passed. And so I had to apply for endorsement to transfer my Hawaii license to California. And even then, they still asked me to take med-surg and OB subjects. And I remember when I was looking for schools to apply for, they were charging me $20,000 for one subject.
Wow, Jesus Christ. Seriously, $20,000 for one subject?
Yes.
Oh my God.
And that's two subjects that I need to take. And it was crazy. So I found a school in Florida that is way cheaper. It was only $6,000 for both subjects. And so what I did, I was working full-time as an LVN. I was flying back and forth to Florida every month just to take those subjects and then come back to California to work for 3 weeks and do that over and over again for 4 months just so I would finish the med-surg and OB requirement that California is asking me to.
Wow, that's a lot of
persistence
but and money.
I know. And money, because flying is not cheap, but it's way cheaper than me paying $40,000 in California. So I'd rather fly to Florida back and forth because it's way cheaper. But after that, I received my California RN license.
Yay!
And I was able to get into a new grad program, and I love it. And I've been practicing as a California RN for more than, I would say more than a year. And I just passed my, and on top of that, I was doing my family nurse practitioner school. So it was a lot of things happening in my life, and it's very stressful, but I'm just glad it's finally over.
Wow, your persistency paid off. I bet it's hard to study all these years just to get that. Mm-hmm. And so, Jamie, I guess I'm just curious, being on the patient side, because I'm the receiver of your services. And I always wonder what it's like to be a nurse. Like, what are the challenges and the perks of the job? Because a lot of Filipinos really want to take this route. This is one of the common picks, like, okay, I'm migrating to Canada or America, nurse. It's very typical, like Filipino nurse. Like even me, sometimes if people don't know what I do and I meet foreigners, they would ask, oh, you're Filipino, are you a nurse or a military wife? Like they would always ask one of the two, and I'm like, oh, none of the above. But how is it like really to be a nurse? Is it that easy? Because people just think like, oh yeah, I'm just going to study and then I'm going to come to America. I'm going to make good money. And then yay, it just sounds so good when you look on social media, of course, when you other people just show their lives as nurses. I mean, of course, I bet it's got a good compensation. I think so. But what's the real score in being an immigrant nurse in a state like California, where it's so competitive and it's far from home, and with all the pandemic going on right now, there's more pressure? So
I would say that I've worked with a lot of Filipino nurses throughout the years, and the quality of care of Filipino nurses is different. I don't know, I feel like we're very caring and compassionate, and that sets us apart from other nationalities. I guess it's because of our culture.
Yes.
But it's not always easy being a foreign nurse, because I feel like in the beginning, I didn't get as much opportunity as other people who have been born here would get. Yes. And you really have to work hard and improve yourself and, you know, like do all things for you to be viewed as competitive. I feel like that's why I am so persistent in achieving a higher degree because I know I can deliver good care, but because of my color, because of my nationality, it's being viewed differently.
I think also, Jamie, honestly, it's because they, of course, prioritize their people. It's just natural. I'm feeling like, okay, if I'm on the opposite side and I'm in the Philippines and I own a hospital and, yeah, of course, I will look at the credits and the achievements, but there's, of course, a certain level of, how do you say, like, not bias, but of course, I will still prefer my people because it's just, it's my people. It's like your pet, your house, it's a territorial thing. Like, you would, of course, want to support your own, but sometimes it does come off like unfair, but actually thinking about it, it does make sense somehow because, you know, you love your own. That's just how it is. So, and it's just ironic because I think Filipinos were just born to be very caring because I think we come from a country that's, you know, that's developing and we don't really depend on the government for a lot of things. So we need each other. We have to be caring to one another to survive. So I think that's our programming. Like, we need people. We need to care because if not, then we're not going to get anywhere because the government really doesn't care that much, especially in the past where corruption is so much. So I think, like, in America, people are more individualistic and they depend on the government because the government does something. They have, like, all these services and care and grants and all these, you know, help. I've experienced it because I've been dealing with cancer on my own and I'm just amazed how I can do it here. I'm just thinking, like, in the Philippines, I need to really depend on family and friends and money and all the shebang, you know? So, yeah, I agree with you. I agree that it takes a lot. Like, I think it's always an immigrant theme. Like, all the immigrants I've interviewed in my podcast, we're all coming from the same place of, like, we really need to kind of level up the game so much. Like, yeah. even in my case, like, I have to really try hard to do, like, I've been rejected to so many agents when I was applying as a commercial model. And even as a host right now, it's struggling for me. I'm struggling to kind of get a gig just because I don't speak American English, even if I speak clear. So, yeah, I guess it's always gonna be there, but I guess the challenge is for us to just keep striving and winning. Hey, winners! I finally found a skincare line that truly makes me feel like a winner inside and out. Meet Winner Skin. This skincare line is paraben, cruelty, talc, and silicone-free. It's definitely organic and natural. And of course, since we're based in the beautiful California, it's definitely 100% vegan and eco-friendly. It has always been my vision to inspire you guys, not just by my words and life experiences, but also to be part of your daily beauty routine. And that is why I'm so proud to present this to you because it makes you feel beautiful minus the greasy feels. And at the same time, you're helping a kid win in life. $1 of each sale goes to our non-profitable organization, Campaign One at a Time, that focuses on helping children with life-threatening illnesses. So check us out on www.winnerskincare.com and be part of our winning journey to beautiful skin. Because remember, winning starts with your skin.
Yeah, but I feel like what really helped me as well is just change my mindset around it. Instead of, like, thinking that, oh, I have to prove myself because, you know, I didn't come from here, I wasn't born here. Just changing my mindset to thinking that this is America and there are so many opportunities for me. If I receive a rejection, then so what? There are tons of opportunities that I can look for. And I feel like that really helped me. And I don't have that scarcity mindset anymore. And I'm just always celebrating and being grateful with whatever comes my way.
I think that is the American mentality that I love, Jamie. Like, if there's one thing I really love about this country, that's what I learned as well. Like, you have to be grateful because there's always something coming. There's never a lack. You know, there's always, it's the law of abundance. I think it's such a country with so much diversity, so much opportunity, so much resources. So you can never go empty. So I think when I came here before as well, Jamie, I was scared. I was like living like an ant. I always hoard things because I'm like, oh, what if something happens? Because in the Philippines, it's my mentality. There's always a possibility that supplies could run out. And, you know, what am I going to do? How am I going to survive? There's not enough. It's a poor country. So, but here I realized like, oh my God, it's not. There's always things. You can always make it work. So,
yeah,
I agree. So as a nurse, Jamie, what are the main challenges you would say in being, aside from proving yourself, how about the psychological aspect or the emotional part? Because you guys always have to put out, you're always the one taking care of people. And I'm sure you have bitchy, you know, patients sometimes who's just complaining and they're in pain and they're demanding this and that. And, oh, I can just imagine, because to me, I think I've developed that awareness of, I know that nurses and doctors do so much. So I do my part in being just a good patient. That's why it's called a patient, because you need to be patient. So that's how I always feel, like be patient with the people who take care of you instead of harassing them. Because I think there's so much pressure already for you guys to save a life, to take care of someone. So how's the psychological part? Jamie, I can't, like, even me, just getting a poke or getting a blood draw or getting a little test, I'm already freaking out. So I can just imagine you guys, like, you're seeing people who are having coronavirus, you see people having heart attacks, you have all these sorts of, like, trauma happening, and you're right there witnessing it, and you're actually taking care of them, and some of them, maybe you've dealt with someone who's dying, or I don't know, I can't imagine. That's why I never went in the health industry, except for maybe being a yoga teacher or a nutritionist, something like to that effect. But I can't be in the ER. I can't be in the hospital unless I am the patient, because I am going to freak out. I swear to God, I'm going to freak out so bad that maybe I'm going to be the one to faint if I see blood popping out. Like if I poke the wrong vein and it just starts to pop and there's blood everywhere, I think I'll be the one to be like, oh, you know what, guys, I'm out of here. Fuck it. Fuck this, you know? So tell me, like, what goes on in your minds? How do you deal with all the stress in the hospital and the homesickness and all that?
You know, it can be exhausting being a nurse, because you're dealing with a lot of people, and like what you said, you will encounter rude patients, mean patients, but I always keep in mind that these people are not feeling good. They are in pain. They are not themselves. And you have to really show empathy and compassion. But of course, sometimes it's hard to do that when it becomes abusive. But thinking that you are there to help them feel better, I think it allowed me to set aside those like feelings of like negative feelings about them. And also, it can be exhausting. I remember when I used to work at the retirement home, and most of our patients are geriatric patients, like elderly patients. And it can be emotionally tolling, because you've seen them when they were still well and strong, and you are with them until they decline or they die. Oh, and emotionally, I used to cry a lot. And it's not like when you clock out, you can leave your feelings behind. You take it home with you. You think about them. You think about the families. And I remember when I had a patient who was dying and the family members are there, and they called me and they said, oh, I don't think he's breathing. And then I had to go there, assess the patient, see if, you know, he's already dead. And it's heartbreaking to me to tell the family the time of death, or just like let them know that their family member's gone, it's really hard emotionally. I'm still working on that because there are still times when I can't help but cry because I can see myself in their shoes. Like, what if that's my family member? And it can be exhausting for us. So that's what I always try to work on, like my emotional well-being, not only my physical but also emotional, because it can be mentally draining and emotionally draining working as a nurse.
So in relation to that, if there is someone listening out there who is thinking about pursuing nursing, what advice or tips would you give for these people to survive and thrive in this industry? And how does one know if they're really fit for this? You know, because it sounds good on theory. I mean, you know, if I didn't do media, I would have gone the same route because everyone's like, oh, be a nurse in a foreign country. That's the very typical thing that parents tell children in the Philippines who want to migrate.
You know, I always hear this, but I will say it anyway, but don't do it for the money, because it does pay well when you advance your career. But if you only do it for the money, you won't work with compassion. You won't work with empathy. And that is an important factor when it comes to taking care of patients. Because at the end of the day, being a nurse is like being in the retail service. It's customer service. And your goal is to have that patient satisfaction. And if you're just doing it for the money, the care, you lose the care side of being a nurse. And for you to be successful, you have to remember to never stop learning. You always have so many things you can learn about nursing. You can progress into, like what I did, becoming a family nurse practitioner, or if you want to become a registered nurse for the rest of your life, you can focus on taking specialty courses like being in the ICU and becoming a critical care nurse. And there's so many opportunities for nurses, but never stop learning.
This episode is brought to you by Four Sigmatic, a wellness company that is well known for its delicious mushroom coffee. I've been starting my day with their ground mushroom coffee with lion's mane instead of regular coffee, and I love how it helps me focus so I can get stuff done, just like recording this podcast right now. It contains lion's mane and supports productivity and creativity during my very hectic days. You're probably thinking, does this coffee taste like mushrooms? Nope, I guarantee it tastes like regular coffee. And it's easy on the gut, so it doesn't leave me with that awful jittery feeling or crash. And I've worked out an exclusive offer for the Win Your Daily Battles podcast listeners. You can receive 15% off with your Four Sigmatic order. Just key in my discount code, JamieWins, spelled as JAYMEEWINS, upon checkout. So every day, let's make magic happen with Four Sigmatic. You know what, Jamie? You hit a chord in my heart when you talked about the care and the money, because I can tell as a patient, and recently I've been confined for 7 days last May, and I've been through so much rounds of different nurses during my stay. So I see the round robin of like, oh, this nurse is my nurse today, and after a few hours there's a turnover, and so I've met a lot of nurses during that time, and I can tell from the get-go who is in here because they love the job and they're just happy taking care and contributing to the health of the person, and there are those who are just there for the money. And it really,
right? You can feel it.
I can feel. And it hurts me. It hurts me as a patient because I was in this critical period and I was expressing how I feel, and something feels itchy and I'm just in pain, and this nurse is just working like an autopilot. Like, there's nurses I've worked with that literally, I feel like I'm dealing with a robot. Like he or she is just doing the job because it's part of the protocol. But I did not feel that, are you okay? Is there something I can do? Do you need anything in particular? No, they're just like, yep, poke it. Yep, record, boom, bam, bam. And even if I'm talking and exhaling because I feel bad or I feel pain, no, they're just nodding their head, but you can tell that they're not really listening. They don't care. And it sucks. No. Like when the nurse leaves the room, I feel lonelier. I feel like, wow, I feel like I'm just a lab rat or something. I don't feel like a person. So,
and that's so important to talk about because like you are the patient and I'm the nurse, and it's important to talk about it because we know the impact of our actions to you. And yes, if you love your job, you can see in the way they act, the way they treat you, they go above and beyond. But if they're just there for the money, they just do what they're told.
Yes.
And it's so sad.
Or I've had a nurse one time who keeps looking at the watch, you know, and I feel that he or she's not listening to me when I was just, because, you know, he or she asked me, you know, how do you feel right now? Are you okay? And I said, oh, it's the site where my pleurex is feeling really itchy and I can't scratch it because I have an IV. And yeah, you know, nodding and checking the watch while draining me. You can tell that he or she just wants to get out of here. I'm not going to name the gender just for, you know, privacy reasons, but he or she just, I can tell that he or she just wants to leave, and they're not really there in the present moment with you. Their mind is somewhere else. Their mind is probably in the gym, or they can't wait to get to the car so they can drive off and go home and watch Netflix or something. And yeah, it's not good. I mean, if there's nurses out there listening, I'm telling you, we feel it as patients. Even if you're asking us the right questions, you're, you know, giving the care that we need, you're giving us the IV, I feel the energy that you're not really with me, and you're not contributing to my healing. You don't want to make me heal because you're not concerned at all. Wow, this is such an interesting talk. See, like people, I think, need to hear these things on the patient's perspective because it will really help a lot in improving services and actually helping healing people. So Jamie, in since you said about taking care of your mental health and your well-being as you do this job, can you name a few things that you do or people you follow or books you read or anything to that extent that helps you get by and get through your challenges as a Filipina nurse here in SoCal?
Okay, what helps me? I would say de-stressing. Like now I'm into gardening. I can't believe it.
The quarantine made us all domesticated. Everyone's into gardening, baking. I don't know. Me, I'm all about cooking right now. And yes, oh my God, it's so funny how we all just...
But it really helped me, you know, take away all the stress. It's funny that I sound like an old person telling the world that I love gardening right now. But, you know, like just doing the things that you love help you detach yourself from the stressful environment of work and as being a nurse. And when it comes to inspiration, I really like reading self-help books. And I have two actually. It's The Big Magic.
Elizabeth Gilbert? That.
Is that the author?
Yeah, Elizabeth Gilbert, the one who wrote Eat, Pray, Love.
Yes.
Yes, oh my God, I love that book. That jump started me with my creative life. Oh my God,
It's really inspiring.
Yes.
And also Jen Sincero's book. It's like being a badass.
I haven't heard, but I'm going to look it up. I work in the library, so I have access to these things.
This is so embarrassing. Let me look it up.
Go ahead.
I love her book, but I can't remember the title, right? Okay. So another book that I love is by Jen Sincero. It's You Are a Badass, How to Stop Doubting Your Greatness and Start Living an Awesome Life. The first time I read that, it just really made me feel empowered and that I can do more. And so I started working on myself. I think everyone has to try reading a self-help book, immerse yourself into it, and just take away all the good things and inspire yourself to do greater things. Because we have so much potential. I know you have so much potential. You've been doing so many things in your life, and I'm so proud of you.
Thank you. I try.
And, you know, like, I try to do the same in my life. And that's why, you know, I got so inspired to advance my nursing career. And I know I can offer better services. And, yeah, so I think just being constantly inspired and trying to improve yourself, because it will be a lifelong journey of working on yourself. So you have to really start now so that later on you will enjoy the fruits of your labor. And yeah, you will become a better person and it will radiate to everyone surrounding you.
Bravo. Well said. I love that. I'm learning from you as well. That's why I love doing podcasts like this, because I am also absorbing what people are sharing and applying it to my own life and journey. So, Jamie, for the final question, I always ask this to all my podcast guests. Since my podcast show is entitled Win Your Daily Battles, what would you consider your daily battle or daily struggle, and how do you win over it?
That's a good question. I think my daily battle is doubting myself and thinking that I am not good enough. And I have to constantly fight that thought. But I do positive affirmations and keep on telling myself that I have so much potential. I have so much to offer. And therefore, I will act and I will do the things that will not only empower me but also empower other people. And I do believe that when you fill yourself with positive thoughts, that there will be no place for negativity. And you know, it's a constant work, but I have to keep on practicing it so that I would believe that I am this great person that I am. So
you are a great person.
Thank you. And I hope that anyone or everyone that's been listening to this podcast would think the same, because we have so much potential and you have so much to offer. So you have to keep that in mind.
As long as you tap it the right way, I think the potential is there. Some people just don't know how to tap it, or they don't see it yet in themselves. Mm-hmm. They keep looking at the outer space, they keep looking on social media and other people, and they don't look within. Like, you have something to share, you have a gift. I always feel that we're born because we're meant to contribute to something. We're part of the ecosystem. So there's, you can't just be born and you're nothing. You have no, even ants, cockroaches, everyone has contribution. So you have yours too, right? So Jamie, if people want to follow you, do you want to have a little part here where you're going to promote where people can follow your journey as a nurse and as a social media influencer or YouTuber? Please feel free to plug your pages.
Oh, thank you. You can follow me on my Instagram. My username is @MissJamieKate. I also have a YouTube video where I make videos about sustainable living and nursing, and although I'm not very good at uploading consistently, I try my best to keep on creating videos. So if you want to follow me, you can follow me at youtube.com/JamieKateAddock, and Jamie will be linking that in the description.
Definitely. All the things that Jamie said, I'm definitely linking it here on the description so you can check it out. Please visit her her channels because I did actually have a collaboration with her when I was starting with YouTube. She talked to me about the zero waste lifestyle, and I've learned so much about that, Jamie. Actually, after that episode, I did become aware of things, and now I'm using less plastic and less. It's still in my system, but now I try my very best not to have it. And if you guys want to know about it, she has really good insight, so I hope you check out her page. Thank you so much, Jamie. This is so cool to call you.
Thank Jamie. You, Jamie.
Jamie is happy to interview Jamie. Thank you. Thank you for coming into the show. And before I officially close, I always talk about winning daily battles, and it's not about achieving the great things in an instant. Winning is a consistent journey. It's a constant choice. It's a day-to-day thing. And when you realize someday how far you've gone from your day-to-day success, then you realize, oh my God, I've been winning all this time. Because I think most people just have this idea of winning as a big, grand aha moment, when I realized that the journey itself is what makes you a winner. If you don't give up, ooh, I have a text. It means someone loves you. Anyway. Anyway, I guess it's time for us to go now, because I do have to go out in the real world and Jamie needs to go as well. Again, thank you, Jamie, for your insights.
Thank you so much for inviting me.
Definitely. I would love to have you again on a different episode, from zero waste now to podcasting. Maybe who knows what's next, right? There's endless possibilities. So you guys just keep staying safe. Keep wearing those masks and staying clean. Stay indoors and keep the distance. We're still far from over with this crazy pandemic. But one step at a time, one day at a time, we're going to keep on winning. This is Jamie and Jamie signing off. Bye, everybody.